What would you do if you could remember anything that you wanted to? Our guest this morning, Mark Shannon, is a memory master, and he's going to be discussing with us some new ways of remembering things, such as numbers and dates, and new ways of learning and processing information that could actually change your life. I'm delighted to welcome to the show Mark Shannon. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Bill. Great to be here.
Wouldn't it be terrible if I forgot to call you up? Wouldn't it? That'd have been awful, wouldn't it? It'd been a great wind-up, though, wouldn't it, to be fair?
That'd have been fantastic, yeah. Be worse if I forgot to be here.
That's true, yes. I've had that before with people, but not memory mastered. So you're a memory master in the 1995 World Memory Championships.
That's right, yeah. Wow. I got into memory techniques back in probably about 93. Right. And I actually wrote this game show for the BBC back in 1995, and that really got me started. And after I wrote this game show, it was Bob Monkhouse that did it. And I ended up thinking, you know what, I should go and like prove that I can actually do this stuff as well. So I competed in the World Memory Championships, and that's really how I got into working with people over the years.
Wow. Now, you mentioned there in passing something which is really quite staggering, that you wrote a game show, which I remember very well, if you pardon the pun, Monkhouse's Memory Masters. It was a brilliant show, and of course, Bob Monkhouse himself had a photographic memory.
He was phenomenal. I remember him, going through how he remembered his jokes, and it was fantastic. He was really quite phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going to see, I mean, he was one of my heroes, Bob Monkhouse, just one of the best comics ever. And I remember part of his live act, he would say to people, give us five topics, and there'd be random shouts from the audience, and he'd then remember a gag about each topic.
Yeah, and he joined them all together and created this fantastic story with it. It was crazy. I still don't know how he did that, actually.
Well, there you go. So have you always had a good memory? Was it something as a child you remember being good at it, or did it literally just come to you in 1993?
No, I was renowned for having a really bad memory.
Really? You know?
I was, like, growing up, and I actually trained, I was an actor for years, and I did have a really bad memory, especially for things like names, which is something that I read a recent survey lately that said that's one of the biggest things people have problems with, names. Yeah. But I was quite good at remembering words and scripts, but everything else, I wasn't too good. So it was really just through training that I learned to become much more proficient at things like names or data and facts, because with facts I wasn't very good at school, but I learned how to do that stuff.
That's incredible. And you're one of the first eight people in the world to become a grandmaster of memory. What do you do then in the memory championships to win the prize? What's the technique?
Okay, so back in the World Memory Championships, we did things like they give you a 2,000-digit number, and you have to remember, in an hour, as many digits in an hour as you can. So back then I did like 744 digits in an hour. And you do things like packs of cards and names and faces and poetry and various other crazy memory games over 3 days. And if you get a certain score, then they rate you as a grandmaster. They kind of compare it to chess.
Yes.
Chess grandmaster, so it's the same idea.
Wow, I'm just trying to remember... 3.1415926 maybe is next. I'm remembering
pi.
Yeah, pi. That's going back a few years, I tell you. So you became a World Memory Grandmaster. What did that mean then for you? Did that mean you then became a trainer and a coach?
Yeah, that's really how I got into it, because actually when I wrote the game show, I kind of looked at the memory techniques as just tricks.
Yeah.
And I trained people. And then I started working with people, like real people. and I realized that it was making a big difference for people. I remember getting letters from the early days, and this one woman, Hermione, her name was, don't remember her name, going, this is... changed my confidence. I now feel I can study and do everything I want to. I had other people passing exams with 100%, and I thought, wow, this is quite real and useful, rather than just like memorizing a bunch of digits, which is great for a training exercise, but actually there's a lots of real world application to it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody's brain is different. Can you teach anybody to improve their memory, or is it like singing? You've got to be born with the ability to remember first, but then you can become better at it.
No, pretty much. I mean, everyone I've worked with a lot of people over the last 18 years or so, and everyone manages pretty much to improve their memory in some way. It's like you say, people are different. Some people have more of an aptitude towards it. You get people that just like go off like a rocket, other people that take a little bit more time. However, everyone can significantly improve their memory. There was another stat that I read that 46% of people, at least in the UK, rated their memory from average to terrible, which is
wow.
like,
Wow. And I guess that people nowadays, and I'm certainly guilty of this, because of technology, we don't rely on our memories as much as we used to. A good example of that would be telephone numbers. We don't care anymore, do we? Because we dial them up on our iPhone and we don't ever know what the number is.
No, we don't, and then we lose the numbers and they're kind of gone. Now that they're in the cloud. You know,
well, of course, I've been asked so many times, what's your phone number? And I've got no idea.
I don't know. It's in the phone.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of important that we find other ways to keep our memory sharp. And even if it's tiny little things, usually what I say to people when they first start doing the techniques, and I can actually share a technique with you in a moment if you like.
Yes, indeed.
Usually I go, pick something small and try and create a habit. Because if you can create a habit, essentially a learning habit or a memory habit, that it might be something as simple as memorizing 5 or 10 things out of a shopping list or things to do. What that does, it starts to train your brain to think in a slightly different way, and then you can start tackling bigger things. It's like going to the gym. Don't go there on the first day and do the biggest workout ever.
Oh, that's interesting. So you can train your brain in the same way that you could train your body as you were an athlete. So, and do you then have to keep up that training once you've got to a certain fitness level of memory?
Yeah. So, I mean, once you learn the techniques, you could... Once you go through the training, I guess you could liken it to going down the gym. You have to do a certain amount to keep yourself mentally fit.
Right.
You know, a lot of people will play things like Sudoku or crosswords and things like that, which are quite good, just in terms of keeping yourself active. But essentially, you need to do some kind of training. And if you don't do training, find ways to incorporate it in your daily life. Memorizing names, memorizing the simple list, yeah. You know, or things to do, etc. I could share something with you right now.
Please do.
Okay, so these are actually something that quite simple. It's the top 5 items that people misplace the most often, and I'm just going to show you how you can remember these things.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is use what's called a mental filing system. So just imagine what I say to you, and I'm going to stick each one of these items on your body mentally.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Here we go. So imagine that you're standing on a set of door keys, and you can feel the door keys in between your toes, and they're very cold. Mm-hmm. Next, imagine I take a sock, and there's only one sock because people tend to lose just the one, and it's white, and I tie your knees together with this sock. Next, imagine there's a pair of reading glasses, and these reading glasses are actually stuck to your thighs. So the reading glasses are stuck to your thighs, you can't get them off. Next, imagine you sit down on a remote control, and it's a big remote control, maybe it turns the TV on. That's on your behind. And finally, imagine there is a mobile phone attached to your waist. And this one of these 1987 models, you know, so it's like the brick attached to your waist.
Okay.
Okay. Now, hopefully, if that's worked, because we've got really good visual memories, picture memories, you should remember those 5 things. So what's in your feet?
Okay, keys.
Excellent. What's in your knees?
A white sock.
Excellent. What's in your thighs?
Sunglasses.
That glass is good. What's on your behind?
TV remote control.
Yes, and what's on your waist?
The mobile phone.
Yes, there you go, mobile phone.
Oh, dear. I feel like Bruce Forsyth of the Generation Game. You should have stuck a cuddly toy in my head. We'd have completed it there.
Yeah, cuddly toy at the end.
So that's a good way to do it, to visualise something with a picture.
Yeah, you know, if you want to improve your memory, one of the best pieces of advice I can give is be more creative. Our brain loves pictures. Take what you want to remember, turn it into a picture, and then connect those pictures together in some way. There's more neurons in our brain dedicated to vision than any other sense. So we love pictures, and it works really well for memory.
Interesting. What about remembering people's names? That's always a problem for, you know, you've met somebody and then you've met them a few weeks later, you've got no idea what their name is. What's a good way to help you with that kind of thing?
So names, there's a few tips for names. The first thing is just be interested. That sounds a funny thing to say. But a lot of people, you'll meet someone and you're actually thinking about something else. And you don't quite hear the name to begin with. And suddenly the name's gone. You're like, I don't know who this person is. And then it gets embarrassing. So what you do is you get into the habit, and this is one of these memory habits, of going, what's interesting or different about this person? And that's almost before you meet them. And you can meet 5 people or 10 people, but you've got that same thing. And you kind of look at people in a different way. So a feature may stand out on their face. And then when you hear the name, you're ready to listen. So that's the first step. The second thing is create a picture for their name. Let's say it was Bill. So I basically never tell the people, by the way, what pitch is.
No, no, it could be embarrassing. Yes, I'm just imagining. So, yeah, I'm just imagining a couple there that could be quite horrendous, actually. Yeah,
So I might see like a Ducks bill or something like that. And then what I do is I look at your face and then I make a connection, and then suddenly you've got this duck bill on your face, and I make the connection, and I like to say I don't tell you what it is, but that allows me to create a trigger. So when I see you again 2 weeks from now, I get this picture of the duck's bill, and I go, oh, it's Bill. Uh-huh. And that's the third thing. It's really important that you say the name aloud when you meet the person. Some people feel uncomfortable. But if you don't say, oh, Bill, nice to meet you, or you use your name in some way, you might end up calling you Duck or something else.
Ah,
so.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I like that. I like that. And what about, here we are in Spain, people try to learn Spanish here. Is there a good way to help us with remembering words in another language?
Yes. Okay. I'll give an example. Let me think. And then I'll give you a Russian word.
Blimey. Okay. All right.
That might be quite a useful one because there won't be so much context there. And it's kind of like, how do you do that?
Yes.
So let's say cow in Russian is korova. Korova.
Okay.
And so what we do is we imagine the picture of the cow. So you imagine there's a cow sitting in front of you. And then you turn the word korova into a picture. And so it might be a sound picture or a natural association, as we call them. So korova sounds a bit like car over.
Yes.
Korova. So you then connect them. Imagine there's a cow driving a car over a hill, maybe in Russia.
I see.
And so what happens is you remember the picture and then you say it out loud. You go, cow, korova. And it's important that you say it out loud. Otherwise, you'll end up going, cow, car over.
I see. It really is all about pictures, isn't it?
It is. And when people first do that, sometimes they go, isn't it easier just to remember the thing?
Yeah. Good point.
But actually, you get into a new way of thinking. I do this with kids as well, and they are just so imaginative, and they end up just thinking this way. Mm. You know, my kid said to me yesterday that he met someone called Quinn. He just started a new class. He's 9 years old. He went, oh, yeah, so I just imagined Penguin Quinn. Penguin Gwyn, he said, but I called him Quinn. This is from one of his kids' TV shows. And he was just doing this. He didn't think about it. It just kind of happened for him.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, well, I tell you what, that's all good stuff. And I can see the logic and the sense in that. You've written a book about this, and it's called How to Remember Anything. And it's out now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. There's a book called How to Remember Anything. There's also another book that I wrote just last year called The Memory Workbook. So, if you go to memoryschool.com, you can there's lots of free stuff up there as well. So if people want to learn some more, they can go check it out.
Memoryschool.com.
That's right, yeah. And you get links to the books and things as well.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. What's your name again?
Fred!
Oh, yeah. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really good fun. Take care. Bye-bye.
BBC World Service with media partner, Talk Radio Europe.
When America goes to sleep, people on the other side of the world are waking up.
This is World Update. I'm Dan Damon. You're listening to the BBC World Service.
The BBC keeps you connected to the world.
It's 8:10.
And we'll speak to our correspondent in Berlin in just a few minutes' time.
So there may be a view in the US.
On the markets at the moment, the FTSE 100 is down more than 0.5%. This is the BBC.
Presenting the BBC World Service on Talk Radio Europe. Overnight, every night.